Good day, nerds, and welcome to episode 34 of the Nerd Cantina Show. Your host, Steve, and I will discuss some of the new shows that have come out in streaming services. We're also going to follow up with our conversation we had last week regarding the state of the video game industry. The early reviews of the Joker movie looks great, as well as we're going to hit up how the worst thing about robots are humans. And at the end, we're going to have a quick conversation around some of these scary-ass deepfakes that are going on. A lot to cover, so stick around.
Calling back all nerds.
Nerds!
All right, welcome back, nerds, to episode 34. And not a lot going on in the movie world lately. No big major releases happening, and Steve's been busy, so no new YouTube reviews or anything, but what we have been checking out is some of these new streaming services, some of the shows that have taken place. And Steve, I know you're enjoying one of them.
Yeah, I just started, what is that, Carnival Row with Orlando Bloom and Cara Delevingne. Yep. Starts off a little sluggish. I think the first episode was a little rough, but the whole narrative of the show is very interesting. It's all about fays, you know, fairies. And basically, it reminds me kind of the story of like Hawaii. So the fays are the Hawaiians on the island. Japanese come to the one side. Americans come to the other side. We fight over like, all right, well, someone's going to take this motherfucker. Who's it going to be? And instead, in like this scenario, for all better purposes, the Americans pulled out halfway through. And now there's all these fairy refugees and mystical creature refugees and stuff. It's very interesting. It takes place in like the 7th century.
Yeah.
So it's got it, kind of low tech.
It looks really good. It's definitely on my list of something I want to get into right away. Problem is, it dropped last week, which also were when all of the latest season of The Good Place dropped on Netflix. And I'm not missing it. I love that show.
Man, you're preaching in the choir. I watch it weekly. You waited for Netflix. Yeah. I done watched that season as it came out weekly.
Yeah, I don't have any live TV, so I definitely had to wait until it hit streaming services. A Good Place is where it's at. So I had to get through that show first. And then I tried to slip in one new show, and since I was already in Netflix, I just turned on Dark Crystals, and I thought I'm gonna give puppets an open mind here. a good story told through puppets is fine by me. And man, I got
make a couple people mad here.
I got 10 minutes into it and had to just kill it. Like, just completely, if I could delete it off of my Netflix queue, I would, like, altogether. I couldn't get into it. It's not that this, I mean, I really didn't even stick around long enough to know what the story is going to be telling. I'm sure, hopefully some nerd out there can comment, hit us up on the Facebook community and tell me, you know, why I'm missing out. But this is something that I need at least 43 people to contact me personally and tell me it's a great show before I'll give it another try.
Okay.
So, yeah, like, I'm not.
Good. Get to work. Yeah. I need 44 of you to send emails to ken@thenerdcantina.com.
For sure. I am not taking like the weird puppeteer opinion of like two people who say it's great. This needs to have like massive success before I'll get on board.
Another show that actually, since we're on the subject of Netflix, that I've watched the first couple episodes of is that show Hyperdrive.
Yeah.
It's actually pretty dope, man. Like, it's Fast and Furious Tokyo meets Wipeout, the obstacle course game show. Like, it's really kind of dope, man. Like, I'm not even a car guy, you know, really. None of that shit, like... But I do like racing video games, and I've said it before, the arrogance that racing video games has built up into me, whereas I watch a show like this, and I'm like, fuck yeah, you give me 3 days. You give me 3 days. I'm bending that corner. I'm hitting all that shit. It's actually, yeah, it's a pretty, I'm interested. I'm going to finish it.
Yeah.
For sure.
It might be one I'll toss on, especially if there's no need to actually sit and focus on something, just have it on in the background.
And for our guys that take a knee for Marvel and DC, I bought first season of Titans on Blu-ray. I did watch the first episode, and TBD. Let's just we'll leave it at that right now.
Yeah.
TBD.
Yeah, unless the show has puppets in it, you got to give it at least more than one episode. You can stop at 10 minutes for puppets, though. You'll know if you can buy it.
It hasn't been a good run for puppets at the Nerd Cantina. I've ripped that, oh, yeah, that puppet murder comedy movie.
Yeah, but what was it? That's a Melissa McCarthy movie. And she's like the female version of like Adam Sandler. Like maybe you get one funny movie that most people can laugh at, and then it's just a lot of throwaway. It's a lot of bad.
This one was bad, though. This one was really bad. And before that, I really did have a love for puppets, like, and they've been taking some L's.
And I know somebody's going to yell at me about the Adam Sandler thing. I'm talking about modern Adam Sandler. I got it. The Billy Madison days are long gone. Everything he's done in the last 15 years is probably pretty bad.
And I don't know if those Billy Madisons really hold the time.
Ooh, to watch them today would probably be a little cringy.
they're still a little rough, you know. You hit a certain age and you're just like, grow up, dude.
So to make sure, if anybody's just tuning in for this week's news and didn't listen to our Cantina conversation from last Friday, it was one that we're proud of and hope you maybe go back and listen to it. It was with the founders of...
No, get on that shit. Yeah. Go listen to that shit.
It was with not the founders, but board members of TakeThis.org. Three of them came on, so three people much smarter than the two of us, and they provided greater depth into a paper that they discuss about the state of the industry and mental health of those who are working in the video game industry. And some of the things they talk about were like crunch, and which is excessive overtime work for very prolonged periods of time that just plague that industry. And then recently on the Joe Rogan podcast, you've got John Carmack, who comes on there, who was the creator of Doom. Quake, and yeah. and he goes on there and he talks about how crunch, that's not a thing people should care about. That should not be regulated away. It should not be anything that people are talking about. That's just a part of being a developer, and that's what makes the game industry so great. And he talks about it in this nostalgic way. At the same point, talking about it and how he doesn't think it's a cultural issue. It's like, dude, that's all the video game culture. Like you are the embodiment of that video game culture. It's where it's not management. It's not necessarily. It's like this weird expectation that in order to be in that industry, you have to work 80 hours a week or just find a different profession.
This is the owner of five huge video game titles saying, no, it's not a big deal. And it's like, yeah, way to set the tone, asshole.
Well,
way to set the tone.
What I was glad to hear was in that podcast, he talks about how he's never taken a management role and he's still developing games at this point. He never wanted to be CEO. Well, it shows. Like you don't know how to deal with people.
Just because
and
you're
manage
about
people.
That life doesn't mean that it's not proven to be unhealthy and you shouldn't have to hold everybody up to that standard. I'm a small business owner and I know that for me to expect an employee to work as hard as I do and do as well as I do is a little bit high. You know, I expected 70%. I'm trying to settle for 60. You know, and speaking of crunch, like, yeah, I did my own personal crunch this week. You know, I'm a small business owner. I literally worked from 8 in the morning till 2 a.m. on Thursday, from Thursday to Friday. And, bro, I wanted to die. I wanted to die. By 1 a.m. when we were trying to wrap up and this last little thing is giving me a pain in the ass, I'm swearing at everybody and nobody at the same time. I'm just walking back motherfucking everybody.
It's because you didn't learn anything from your watching of the show Awake.
Yeah, I mean, bro, I told you, I got that game. I got that game.
But
like, yeah, like it was so mentally draining. Even the next day, like I woke up on barely any sleep, just exhausted. And I could tell I was not functioning at 100% at all.
And then, like I said, you've got an icon in the industry, somebody who owns these companies, who is just outright saying, no, he doesn't think this is an issue. And the people who are good developers and the people who care about their craft are the ones who are putting in the work. And those who aren't, maybe it's not for them. And that just, it really hammers home the conversation we had last week, talking about just this and talking about how it's really a cultural issue. It's not necessarily even shitty managers forcing people to work. It's it's just everybody
in
the industry.
It's a mindset. It's a mind state.
And it is broken. And it will break those people. It'll continue to cause mental health problems, mental health issues with those individuals who are working and living in those conditions. It doesn't matter how dedicated they are when they're in their early 20s. When they're 40 and they're still expected to work that way and they're sacrificing time with family and everything else, it contributes terribly to mental health.
And like we didn't, this isn't exclusive even to just like our nerd community, you know, I mean, we could equate fantasy football to nerds, but I mean, look at the backlash Andrew Luck got for retiring after realizing he played a few snaps in the preseason, realized that his body's broken. He's mentally not there. And he retired, and you have half the country. They booed this man on the way out. They booed this man because he gave up on his team. Like that whole mentality of you sacrifice your soul for you know, sports fandom in that case, you know, tech fandom in the other case. This mentality of your health is secondary to a X goal in mind, whatever it may be, it's insane how rampant it actually is.
Yeah, and I'm sure the video game industry isn't the only one that is suffering through these things. But this one was a good test subject, and I think mental health is something that should be talked about a little more in the forefront, and just some contributing factors in this. The talk we had last week really hammered that home. And then again, the follow-up on the Joe Rogan, it was pretty timely following our release that really just it highlighted exactly what we were talking about. So I wanted to cover it here, but we can move on to now a little more current news and
some more frustrating video game
some
news.
Mental health contributing issues here. And if you were a World of Warcraft, was it Classic, right? Is that the release?
Classic, that's what they're calling it. For better known as Vanilla WoW.
they sent that up. And I know you as a fan, you didn't get in any of those lines, did you?
I mean, I had to go to meetings to get out of this game. It is an addiction. Like it has addictive properties, and like this was just like sliding a bag of the purest heroin in front of an addict.
Getting everybody back on.
Like, hey, remember that good shit from back in the day?
So,
well, we got it in a brand new shiny package.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you don't know what the hell we're talking about, World of Warcraft released in fancy boxes and everything else, World of Warcraft Classic Edition, where they're just doing a throwback to all the original players. You can go back in, and the wait lines to get into servers, people were waiting to get entered into a server.
I know
for hours.
People who tried to log in yesterday and queued themselves up at 1 p.m. so they could try to play at 9:00, 10:00 at night, and they still weren't on at 10:00 at night. So they were like, "Yeah, fuck it, I'm not playing." Yeah. Like,
and then even if you got into the game and you needed to go and get yourself a quest, you're still standing in like Black Friday version of lines of
virtual
rogues and mages just standing out in the snow waiting to enter.
If you're on a PvP
quest
server, you're getting ganked in Terran Mill, yelling and screaming at motherfuckers left and right. Like, I remember that shiz.
Oh,
see, they made this for people like me. So I played Vanilla WoW all the way from, say, we're going to get into some talk that you probably don't know much about, but from Vanilla WoW to past BC, a little bit past Wrath. Actually, I did a little bit of Naxxramas when they came out also. But so we're talking a 4-year window from start to finish. In that 4-year window, it went from like crazy virtual world to where you had to run like 6 in-game virtual miles to get to the next town. And we're talking like real time, bro. Yeah. It would take you an hour to walk from this town to the next town. And as they progressively weakened the game to make it more conducive to like new players and people that just don't have a lot of time gaming, it made people like us who were in the original and had to do these shitty quests and like fuck you, you didn't earn that. You didn't earn that mount. You didn't earn them totems. Like, man, if you ain't never got Karakeet or Naxxkeet or like fuck your face, bro. You don't just walk into these dungeons. You got to spend 7 days doing quests that take you into like 9 towns just to get a key to get into the fucking dungeon, you know. But they took all that shit out as the years went by. So this WoW Classic is just like that. Hey, remember when you had to work for it? Remember? They just hit you with them South Park member berries. And it got met like... Half my old guild is back on a server right now trying to go. I was a GM for 3 years. Like it was like, so yeah, a lot of my officers and friends that I still talk to that we all left while they're all back in it again. You know, when they brought pandas in the game, it got a lot of people to come back. Everybody wanted to play as a panda, especially my Asian friends. Shout out to them Asians. And they got everybody back with the pandas, and now, yeah, they got us old heads that want to walk 5 miles, you know, for an hour. Like, I don't know why we do it, but it just gives us something, some kind of weird pride.
Yeah, I mean, that was just a game that got popular at a time that there was just no way I could do it. And again, I don't have time in my life to be the nerd I want to be. I think I would have 100% been deep into that had I been able to.
And it's like, you know, one of those games to where like people like us, like if you're going to do it, you're going to do it right. Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I'm not going to go half ass into this fucking mage. Like, no, I'm going full head on in. Like, and you get immersed. You know, it's got its own economy. It's got auction houses and stuff. So you make all these things and like you find yourself like playing the stock market of the auction house. Like if I put my materials up on Tuesday, Tuesday's when raid or when server resets. So everybody's looking to raid on Tuesday nights. They're going to need them potions. I put my potions up on Tuesday morning. They're going to sell for a high price. You try to sell that shiz on Saturday, you're assed out.
All right. We got to walk away from this conversation.
Become a crazy economist.
You're going to start getting the itch here in a second and you're gonna relapse tonight.
I feel it coming on.
Like. We're gonna have to walk away. So let's shift from video games here to it's a movie that hasn't released yet. I've been super excited about this for months since we first talked about it when they had that first teaser come out, and that's the Joker movie. And I've said I've been trying to like keep my expectations manageable for this. But I've really wanted this to be done well.
They just fucked that.
And now, the last trailer looked great. And now the early screenings from the Venice Film Festival, whatever else, I got an 8-minute standing ovation at the Venice Film Festival. And it's like what the hell's happening?
Like, push up the release date then. This thing's obviously done.
Yeah.
Like, everybody's waiting to see this movie. Then you start showing it a month and a half before release to certain groups and expect me to not be like, well, shit, yeah. You know, like then they release the last trailer, which is like lead you more into knowing kind of what the tone of the movie is, kind of how, you know, a little bit more. You don't know much, but you do know a little bit more of how things are going to go. And
but you got multiple major reviewers and stuff from Vanity Fair and stuff like that saying that this is like some dark masterpiece of a movie, and it's everybody's already calling for like Joaquin Phoenix to win Oscars and everything else. Like, I just want to see the damn movie now. This might be, I rarely see movies on opening weekend. This might be one that I go do just because I've been excited for it, and hopefully they finally did it well. I don't even know.
I'm not going to lie. I'm really salty that people have seen this movie right now. Like, I'm really fucking salty. Like, this is bullshit.
Yeah.
Like, a week before release, okay. But to walk around for the next month knowing that there's a bunch of people that are just like, bro, just wait till you see this movie, and all the YouTube videos and all these like Vanity Fair articles.
I read two articles. I'm done now. No more YouTube videos. No more nothing for me until I get a chance to see it and see.
Push the release date up a week, 2 weeks.
Yeah. Like,
let us go see this movie. Just take our money.
But that's all we're talking about this week for movie news. As it's, you know, end of the summer, there really isn't much happening for a little while now. One kind of talk that we want to have here, maybe we'll go to slight depth into our thoughts and ramblings on this, is what I've now stated is that the worst thing about robots is humans. Like we now see we see the Hitchbot that, you know, a while ago.
That was 2-3 years
ago. Yeah, 2-3 years ago that was hitchhiking its way across the country and got destroyed in Philadelphia because, you know, it's Philadelphia.
I shared that article with you just because you shared the other one with me first.
Yeah, like, and this just shows what's going to happen here because now Walmart is expanding its robot army. It's being called the robot army by a lot of different articles and things. But Walmart is, they are testing out thousands of robots that they're going to roll into stores. Some that look like rolling towers that are designed to restock and rotate what's on the shelves. They've got automated cleaning machines that are going to, you know, just large Roombas that are going to go sweep and mop their stores. They've also got a bunch of automated like conveyor belts that are going to be sorting and managing things like shipping. So Walmart, being, you know, the major distributor in the country, is getting rid of stock boys, stock people. I'm going to gender neutral that thing.
Stock person.
Stock person. we got, you know, the sweeper robots that are being coming through the stores, and Walmart's not closing. That's not changing. So they're trying to figure out how these robots are going to interact with the humans and go and clean and restock the shelves while people are shopping. And that's the biggest challenge. And of course, it's the biggest challenge because, again, you go back to Hitchbot and you're going to put this in Walmart first. Like, that's where society needs to learn how to integrate with robots.
So in society's defense, the only defense that I will give society is that Hitchbot made it for a long time. Until it hit Philadelphia.
Yeah.
This story may say more about Philadelphia than it does.
But I'm going to say Walmart is the Philadelphia of retail. Like,
okay.
So that's okay. if you're going to call Philadelphia that lowest common denominator of asshole, I'm going to say Walmart's got that in spades. And you're just saying, you know, the 2 o'clock in the morning, drunk shopper at Walmart, that's when the sweeping robot's coming out. It's not coming out for mom with her kids shopping in the middle of the day. So this is the human lowest common denominator that's going to test how robots are going to integrate with human society. And it's going to get ugly.
Me living in Chicago, my brain went straight to one with just gang signs all over it. Like, just rolling hard, banging for the Stones and Lords on, you know, up aisle 7 because these motherfuckers just tagged the hell out of it.
There's bound to be some spectacular videos that's going to make it through YouTube and everything else of, yeah, just people tagging these things, riding on the sweeper bots.
They're in Walmart licking ice cream. What the hell are they going to do to this robot?
I know, man. It's
because you know they're just going to walk in there, do it for the gram, and just deface this innocent poor little machine.
Yeah,
that's taking our jobs. And devaluing our human labor capabilities.
But I mean, there's a deeper talk to be had here about what AI, what these kind of robots. Just understand, if Walmart's doing it, everybody's doing it. And again, there is deeper talk that we plan to have as a dedicated Cantina Conversations on AI.
We're reaching out on the Twitters
because if you don't think that, you know, this is not a response to potential minimum wage increases and reducing labor forces in the largest retail being the largest sector of jobs in the country, and Walmart being one of the largest hirers of retail workers in the country, if not the largest, this might be something people should care about. But we'll get to that at another deeper conversation where we got an hour to talk about it.
Another scary tech item that I am also trying to find a guest to have for a Cantina Conversation.
One specific guest.
And this scares the bejesus out of me, but if you haven't seen what deepfakes are yet, Google it, go on the interwebs, find some deepfake videos, and share in my terror, because these things are getting out of hand good. Like, the latest one to hit the internet really heavy was an old interview of Bill Hader telling a story about Tom Cruise and Seth Rogen on David Letterman. And every time he makes reference to something Tom Cruise says, his face literally morphs into Tom Cruise, and you cannot tell it's not Tom Cruise. Like, cannot tell the difference.
Yeah.
And this is like the dawn of the technology. Like, the
dawn of it was like the stupid, you know, Snapchat filters and, you know, where they were just taking silly gimmicky things.
Well, and like Star Wars did a really good job of, you know, like having, finishing off the scenes with Leia, making Leia look young. Ant-Man, what was it? Noah, Endgame, they had Michael Douglas looking young as hell. Like, but that's all deep fake technology. They had General Tarkin. Dude's been dead for how long? They had General Tarkin in Rogue One, and that dude's dead.
Yeah.
And that dude looked like a human.
Yeah.
That's the technology.
And somehow, DC couldn't just remove a fucking mustache from...
Fucking mustache!
They spend $6 million, and they can't remove a mustache. But now a cell phone app can make me look like I'm in any movie that I want to be. There's that, like, Nick Offerman... Full House.
Full House video. Every single person's
face is Nick Offerman, and it scares the hell out of me. I will never forget the Olsen twins now being Nick Offerman. Like that has seared into my nightmares.
The Swanson twins.
Yeah,
they're fucking Swansons. But like, in all serious though, like, we worry about Russian hacking of elections and, you know, misinformation in the internet age. You know, you got to check your sources. You got to know who wrote the article, who's posting the article. Everything's clickbait and baity headlines. Like, in a day and age of that, that's just print.
Yeah.
Like, there's going to be YouTube videos
of the next presidential candidate on some like white supremacy rally that dude never spoke at. But all of a sudden he's literally there standing there with a torch in hand, giving a speech, and it's like you're gonna have to question everything.
And it's not even the fact that a lot of people will believe it, but some people will.
Enough people, because most people won't even click on the video, right? And the few that do will get fooled. The vast majority won't even click on the video. Oh, they're gonna mash that share button though. They're going to mash the fuck out of that share button when it goes against their candidate, right? When it goes against their base. I mean,
they did one with Nancy Pelosi. They made her, they slowed her speech down and the frame rate down to make her look drunk. And like, man, just, smashing the shares. Smash it. Like, all over. And like, this is just the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah,
like the technology is only going to get better. It's only going to get more accessible. It's just it's going to get cheaper and better as the years go by.
Yeah,
I'm really this one freaks me out. Like really, really freaks me out. Like imagine what they would do in this day and age. So I don't know who the new hotness is, but back when we were young, like. Imagine they had this technology. Jessica Biel would have been banging everybody on video. Like Cameron Diaz would be all over.
Yeah, like, during like the day they would do like sex tapes. Oh yeah, you'd just be making all kinds of fake
celebrities' heads that they're gonna put on porn stars is gonna be absurd.
Oh, that's true.
It's gonna be absurd.
I'm actually kind of disappointed in myself that I didn't go to porn with this, because it's normally one of the first exploitations of everything
to immediately put it to porn. Porn sets the tone.
Yeah,
and like.
I went political. I went like deep seedy political nonsense, and I went like
We went highbrow. Yeah. This is the nerd. We were trying to seem intelligent for our audience. Yeah. Like
no, but I normally just try to seem intelligent. Like I legitimately didn't think about porn on this one, which is upsetting.
That's gonna be absurd. It's gonna be bad. And like if you are a celebrity. You know, it's going to be one of
you
those things.
You got to know it's happening.
You're going to hit a certain amount of fame, and you just got to wait for the tape.
Just wait until like the deep fakes are so easy and seamless that you could watch one. Now I'm fully invested in porn here. So now we're about to have an industry talk about the future of porn.
You're going to be checking nipples to make to because well, like to it, see what like. well, I know that body. That body's this, and yeah. Like,
well, it'll seriously get to a point where, you know, porn stars, they don't really need to have a face. I could just start watching a video and choose from one of any celebrity I want. It'll in real time just change it to that person. Like, it doesn't even need to be pre-done.
And now you just got a bunch of uggos entering the porn industry with fake boobs because they're just going to deep fake my face anyways.
Yeah.
So
this is how.
Oh, this is so horrible. This is so horrible.
This is how you go defeat AI, is you just open up jobs in other industries like porn. So this is
the technology industry.
This is it.
It's gonna be, I don't see any good coming of this. Like, what good does this do?
No, it
other than give us dead actors in movies that we haven't seen in a long time. Like, there's I don't see any upside to this technology whatsoever.
No, I mean, other than like the novelty of it just being, you know, funny. Yeah, I think the potential
lulls will be at max capacity. Yeah. Like, yeah, like you were clicking like 75% of the links for sure. for sure. I gotta know.
And then due to this conversation we're having here, I will get fed to my phone every deep fake. Yeah. Video that's ever made.
Yeah, both our phones just heard us say deepfake at least 15 times. Yeah. So now every article is going to get pushed to my notifications, sponsored ads.
Yeah.
Goddamn technology.
Yeah. And I'm not smart enough not to click either. Like, I'm gonna check them out.
I'm a big dumb animal with huge thumbs. Like, I'm pounding that. Oh, what's this one? I see I want to have somebody that's an expert in deepfakes on the show just to tell me what can we use this for that is beneficial to society.
I'm going
to
say criminal defense. Only in the sense that I'm just trying to think how I would get out of a crime. If I'm ever caught on video doing something bogus, because we're all caught on video now. Somebody's got a cell phone camera on us all the time. I wonder if I could, like, plausible deniability my way out of a crime.
Oh,
that's deep fake.
Some dude's getting caught banging the neighbor on a Ring camera.
Oh, yeah, and he's like,
he's claiming deep fake.
That's what I'm saying. Like, so I'm going criminal defense as
he's claiming deep fake to his wife all day.
Oh yeah, yeah. Like,
no, babe, that ain't me. Yeah, that bitch, deep fake me.
No. Yeah, somebody.
No, that's the mailman. That's the man. Look at the. I don't walk like that. I don't. Oh God!
Yep. So I'm going. Yeah, I'm going. Criminal defense. Plausible deniability is created by deepfakes. I can walk my way out of some kind of crime in the future for this.
Oh man, for sure somebody's getting caught on a Nest camera somewhere and is claiming deepfakes if they haven't already.
No, I was just thinking that. Like, I wonder if I search right now if I could find a defense that's already existed of somebody stating they were framed by a deepfake. It probably does exist already.
Well, like the most common one, it's not going to be on any media. Like, I don't think we're at the point now where like the local bank robber is going to claim deepfake in a in a courtroom that's actually going to get recorded and put out there. But for sure, Billy Bob or somebody down south came home drunk. Yeah, there's all kinds of local people getting caught on Ring cameras claiming somebody had to claim the deep fake excuse by now.
Yeah, and it'll get good enough to where you have to question it. I don't know, you know, again, somebody who's techie into this can maybe say like, oh yeah, I'm sure there's ways to 100% certify that something's a deep fake or not. But to the general dummies,
that day will end.
Yeah.
I don't know. You're gonna have to be like some huge egghead to know coding enough to be like, no, this video's been altered.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, and
Brenda and her dickhead husband aren't gonna be able to decipher that. And yeah.
I mean, 2020 election's going to it. There is going to be. Deepfakes.
Oh, there's gonna be too many people behind podiums.
Yeah, there's gonna be deepfakes that get shared of of Joe Biden doing something, Kamala Harris doing something crazy.
Yeah, well, Biden does enough on his own.
Well, yeah, I was going to say the same thing about Trump. Like, Trump's waiting for a good deep fake of him.
Fake him.
He's just waiting for a way to walk out of some shit that he's actually done.
Everybody, all the deepfake artists are just waiting for a serious moment to deepfake. Every time they want to deepfake him, he one-ups them.
But no, this will definitely have an impact, hopefully not on voters, but it'll have a impact on the campaigns. People will be responding.
Someone will be swayed by a deepfake video to believe something they should never believe ever.
I don't know.
I mean, this is going to be like the next War of the Worlds moment, like where somebody puts out a deep fake video and just has the whole fucking country going mad, you know, like the old radio show did. Like literally like 40-50% of the country actually thought aliens landed because of a goddamn radio show.
Yeah.
So tell me it's not plausible to put a deep fake of Trump announcing an alien invasion to war or something right now. You know what I'm saying? Like, and have mad people loading guns, hiding in bunkers, grabbing their go bags and getting underground. Like, you know that shit is like, we're less than a decade away from that scenario for sure. For sure.
All right. Well, I'm depressed. And we've gone down some terrible paths here. And I don't know how to come out of this.
Yeah, if you guys know a deep faker, like if anybody's got plugs, send them our way. Steve@thenerdcantina.com, Ken@thenerdcantina.com. If you guys know people that are heavy into AI or deep fakes or any of these crazy subjects, we'd love to have a conversation with them. We're reaching out to the interwebs because it's really hard to get these people to respond. They're too busy putting Ron Swanson's face on 90 sitcoms to come on our show. someone's got to do the Lord's work.
Yeah, for sure. But I think that's all we've got for this week, for episode 34 of the Nerd Cantina Show. So appreciate you you sticking through us and listening. If any of these topics are particularly interesting to you, reach out on the Nerd Cantina community. So you can find us at thenerdcantina.com/community, which will redirect you to our Facebook group, where join a couple hundred members and have some good conversations. Maybe share your favorite deepfake. Hopefully it's not related to porn.
You can scroll through there. There's a few in there. Yeah. We've been sharing them.
If you're enjoying the show, we always ask that at a minimum, please subscribe on whatever player you're listening to right now. And then take a minute and give us some ratings and reviews on iTunes. It does go a great deal towards just furthering our reach, giving us a larger audience to share our ramblings with, as well as also getting us maybe a little more clout to go book those experts in the AI fields. I don't know how many experts in the deepfake fields there are, but we'll find them.
Yeah, I have a two name list. So I'm gonna shoot out two emails and that's all I got.
Hey, and come back on Friday. So releasing on Friday, September 6th, is a conversation that we had, our next Cantina conversation with the two hosts, Heather and Liz from the Nerdy Bitches podcast.
Yeah, we have a nice little conversation what it's like growing up as a nerdy woman in a very male-dominated society, what made them join the podcasting community. They're doing some fun things over there in the podcasting community, so we wanted to have them on and give them some exposure and have a nice little conversation.
So come on back and join us for the Friday episode, and then join us again next Wednesday for our weekly news ramblings. Until then, talk to you later, nerds.
See you.
Real quick, we just wanted to mention one of our favorite new apps, which is PodCoin. So assuming that because you're listening to our podcast today, that you happen to be a podcasting nerd. And if you are, I can't see any reason why you wouldn't want to get paid for your time.
I'm a big fan of getting paid to do stuff that I do in my daily routine anyways. I sign up for all the rewards programs possible. And with PodCoin, you actually get paid to listen to podcasts. So every minute that goes by that you're listening to your podcast, you are throwing away potential money.
So go ahead, download PodCoin app on either through iTunes or through the Google Play Store. And when you sign up with the promo code NerdCantina.
One word. That'll get you 300 free coins towards your account and get you on your way to earning that first reward from either Amazon gift card, Target gift cards, all kinds of things. You could also donate your coins to your favorite charity that they offer. If you're going to be listening to podcasts anyways, you might as well get some free stuff for doing it. So download the PodCoin app. Put in the code NerdCantina, get your free coins, and start earning money while you listen to our show.